Welcome to Our Daily Portion with WIT Ministries. I'm Matt Russell, and I'm the director of WIT Ministries. And at Walking in Truth Ministries, we want to help people to be able to live a more God-centered, God-focused life and in every aspect of their life. So the purpose for this podcast is for us to really strengthen our biblical discipline of reading the Bible. So I'm going to read a scripture every day where I'm going to share a nugget about that scripture, and then I'm going to say a little prayer at the end, and that will be the entirety of our episodes for this podcast. Please feel free to check us out at walkingintruthministries.org, or you can also check out our other podcast, which is Living the WIT Life with Walking in Truth Ministries. I hope that this podcast blesses you as much as it blesses me, and let's go ahead and get started with our daily portion.
Are you concerned about what the future holds? Are you confident that the retirement plans that you have today will still be secure tomorrow? Let us help you by clearing up the uncertainty. This is Matt Russell, the director of WIT Ministries. Many of us at Walking in Truth Ministries are bivocational, working in our ministry as well as in the financial services industry at WinBig Financial Group. We help people to build a tax-free and risk-free retirement. Give me a call at 817-903-2575 to support our ministry and to secure your family's financial future. Again, call today at 817-903-2575. Thank you and God bless. Numbers 23, the prophecies of Balaam. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here." Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand beside your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a bare hill. Now God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I have set up the 7 altars, and I have offered up a bull and a ram on each altar." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and you shall speak thus." So he returned to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, he and all the leaders of Moab. He took up his discourse and said, "From Aram Balak has brought me, Moab's king from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? As I see him from the top of the rocks, and I look at him from the hills, behold, a people who dwells apart and will not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die to the death of the upright, and let my end be like this." Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies. Behold, you have actually blessed them." He replied, "Must I not be careful to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" Then Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place from where you may see them, although you will only see the extreme end of them and will not see all of them, and curse them for me from there." So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offering while I myself meet the Lord over there." Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." He came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering and the leaders of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" Then he took up his discourse and said, "Arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no omen against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time, it shall be said to Jacob and to Israel what God has done. Behold, a people rises like a lioness, and as a lion, it lifts itself. It will not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, do not curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam replied to Balak, did I not tell you, whatever the Lord speaks, that I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with God that you curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the wasteland. Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here. Balak did just as Balaam had said and offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. So Balak wants Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam doesn't just go and directly just go against Balak's wishes, but he starts through the process and then goes and meets with God, which is fine. But imagine if Balaam, who already knows God's wishes, he already knows God never wants to curse Israel. So why would he need to go and ask him and say, basically, okay, God, he's asking me to curse your people. Should I do it? Seems kind of silly. But he follows Balak's wishes, goes and meets with God, comes back, and then God says, just say what I tell you to say. And so he does, and he blesses Israel as the enemy of Moab and says that Moab will be delivered up. And of course, then Balak says, no, stop it. What are you doing? He says, maybe we'll go do the same thing, but do it from a different location. So just think, as we want to be obedient to God. We want to be radically obedient to God. How much better is it that when God speaks, we just immediately do? But Balaam isn't necessarily just doing immediately what he knows God wants him to do. He's almost timid and cowardice about it through this whole process with the donkey, with the leaders. It's almost like he's just easily intimidated. I mean, he's fine once he's heard from God, which is great. But up front, he doesn't seem like he's this great leader who's already there to speak for God and say what God wants him to do. He has to go back and let me check with him again. Let's see if he's changed his mind. I mean, this is 2 times that he's being asked to curse, and he's turned around and blessed. And now they're setting up at the end of this for a 3rd time in a new location to do it once more. And Balaam keeps telling him, look, I'm not going to do anything different from what God asked me to do. Do you want me to go ask him and see if he wants me to curse his people again? I think that it's okay for us to question. It's okay for us to seek guidance. It's okay. That's fine. But there's times in our lives we have to know that God's called for a specific thing and he's not going to change his mind. Like something simple, tithing. God calls for us to tithe. Every single time that I get an increase, should I say, God, are you still wanting me to tithe? Should I go back and ask for direction every single time? Or should I say, now I know that tithe, actually the word means tenth. And the examples given to us is all about tenths. But God, are you sure you don't want like a fifth? See how that just kind of changes the obedience? It's not a radical obedience. In fact, it's a questioning and it's a delayed obedience. And delayed obedience is still disobedience. We're supposed to immediately obey. So Father, I pray that in my life that I could be a radical person of obedience, that I could obey you immediately, I could obey you without question, and I could obey you fully. I know if I were, as I spend time away from your word, then it's easier for confusion to set in, for a lack of confidence to set in. But if I'm spending time in your word, and if I'm spending time with you daily, then I can be confident in knowing that when you call me to do something, it is you, and I should just do it and be ready to see the beautiful outcome that comes on the other side. Thank you for always blessing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope that that blesses you either as an individual or with you and your other loved ones. Maybe this is something that you're utilizing to spend with your family some time around God's word, and of course, that is great. I love that, and I'd love to hear how the Daily Portion podcast is blessing you. If you would, just go to our website at walkingintruthministries.org. And go on there and just drop us a little note about this podcast or one of our other podcasts, or even just check out the events that we have available. But again, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow as we dig into our daily portion with Whit Ministries. God bless.